Sean Colvin joins us today with a full band, including the producer of her new album, These Four Walls, John Leventhal. The two have been musical and at one time romantic partners in a relationship that started back before her first album in 1989 and includes her Grammy Award-winning A Few Small Repairs. Our session begins with this performance of the new song, Fill Me Up. That is a great way to begin our session today with a really nice version of Fill Me Up, the tune that begins These Four Walls, which is Sean Colvin's new album. And Sean, you should say who's with you today, because it sounds great.
I should, shouldn't I? Nah. that's a joke. We've got Zev Katz on the bass, and Sean Pelton on the drums, and John Leventhal on guitars.
And, of course,
that's it.
John Leventhal, of course, longtime collaborator, you two have it seems to me such a different kind of process for writing than a lot of other people, and maybe you should explain how you write together.
Unexplainable.
Yeah.
Well, we don't, you know, sit in the same room and hash it out from beginning to end. That would end in bloodshed.
Or worse.
Or worse. You know, and it's John could do it and does do it with other people, can write that way. But I don't know. You know, I'm kind of responsible for the lyrics and the melody, and I cannot sit there with somebody else around and come up with lyric ideas. I kind of have to speak in tongues in a way. I got to kind of play the track or play the song on the guitar and see what comes out. And sometimes it's pretty embarrassing and weird, and it ends up turning into something that makes sense to me, but it starts, I don't know, kind of unconsciously, and so I need to be alone. So we write independent of each other in a way.
We're talking with John Leventhal and Sean Colvin about the writing on These Four Walls. And, of course, now is the time when the album is out where you have everybody trying to tell you what your songs are about. And I'm sure everybody has interpretations of everyone. But tell me about These Four Walls, because it's obviously the title track, but it seems to be at the center of what's going on with this.
Yeah, and that wasn't planned. That's kind of what's fun about this process. John had sent me this track. And actually, we're already recording the record, and he came up with this, which is kind of a cool thing that John will do. He'll say, we're missing a certain color, and he'll actually write something to address, you know, I guess he was probably going for a nice folky fingerpick tune, you know, that we've been able to have, you know, write nice stuff to. And I heard it, and I was inspired and moved by it, and it kind of made me nervous, actually, because I really did like it. And whenever I fall in love with a track that he has, I just want to come up with the right thing, you know, and I want to mess it up. And independently of having the track, see, this is where you got to wonder if there's a higher force at work, you know. I was at my sister's house, and, you know, my sister lives in the same town as I do, and we were watching, you know, I mean, I lead kind of a suburban life, you know, and we were watching some TV show, and we were just hoping the kids would stay upstairs doing something else. And I had the "I'm going to die in these four walls" idea, but it was a joke, you know. It was, and then I continued to kind of go with that idea, and I was being silly about it. And then when I got home, I realized, oh, this idea kind of goes with this song, and I knew it was going to be this kind of...
And it ain't funny.
Yeah. No, it ain't funny.
Well, here, do a version of it for folks so we can know what we're talking about.
I'm going to die in these four walls. I've had enough and I tried it all. I watch the daybreak and I see the night. Show me trouble, I'll take him down. I drew a line on this patch of ground, and everything's safe and everything's sound in these four walls. Up on a rooftop, I can remember. Thank you.
that's the song we've been talking about. That's the title track of These Four Walls. Sean Colvin playing
Metro. These guys are so good, aren't they?
Ooh,
aren't they good?
Sounds great.
These guys are so awesome.
One of my favorite songs on These Four Walls, at least a few times I've had a chance to go through it so far, is Cinnamon Road. I just love the whole imagery of that. Where does it come from?
I'm not sure. It seems to me this friend of mine had a dream in which there was a place called Cinnamon Road, and I said, I'm writing that down. I think that could be good. And I did end up using it, and I went back to her, and I said, hey, I used it. And she said, I never had a dream with Cinnamon Road in it. So now it's like Twilight Zone. I thought somebody gave it to me, and they said they didn't, and whatever.
Now, you've mentioned that this album is kind of a midlife album, and what does that mean?
I can't talk about it. What does it mean?
It's tough. Yeah, guys. Everything's falling apart, huh?
It's all downhill from here.
No, that's These Four Walls.
You know what? Yeah. In terms of this particular song, you mean?
Because this seems like something.
It's equal parts looking back and looking forward. Looking back with regret. Sometimes, and with nostalgia sometimes, and then looking forward to the inevitable darkness and decay that will be ours.
Yummy.
She's always with the light side, David. It's great. It's an uplifting experience every minute with her.
Cinnamon Road seems to have a little bit more of the nostalgia looking back in a good frame of mind.
I always write about the same things, and this song touches on I referred to it in Cry Like an Angel, the friends I had in high school, and I'm sure I referred to it in other songs, and that's what this song is, just another kind of take on it. Honestly, and I don't know if John even knows this, I might have told him, but he said something to me like 10 years ago when we were making a few small repairs about memories of certain people that he had that he felt like he kept in a box. And I always remembered him saying it. And I ended up, using it sort of in this song.
Okay, this is Cinnamon Road.
Oh, Cinnamon Road, that's where we would go to try and feel better. Oh, hot summer breeze tied to the trees, reaching forever. So you take all the things that you felt that I never did show, with the picture in your head of somebody that you never did know. You put them all in a box and you leave them down a cinnamon road. But all the money in the world is never gonna let you go. Degrees, reaching forever. show. The picture in your head of somebody that you never did know. You put them all in a box and you leave them in cinema.
Cinnamon Road from Sean Colvin playing live. Coming up, we talk about Sean's early days in music, and she and John Leventhal reflect on the Grammy-winning success of Sean's album, A Few Small Repairs. It's coming up on The World Cafe. I'm David Dye. More from my guest, Sean Colvin, along with her producer and songwriting partner, John Leventhal. Every time I see Sean, I am struck by her way with an acoustic guitar, and I asked her about it. Sean, it's so good to have you back. I realize the things I absolutely love about your performing, which is the way you kind of, your phrasing when you sing live, and you... It's really kind of sexy.
I can't leave
slurry.
Well enough alone.
No, it's really beautiful. And the other thing
you
do that I think I read it must have been in some guitar magazine or something about. I never was able to kind of describe what you do live with your guitar playing. Percussive is the word that always comes out. But there's something you kind of do, damping the strings or something that you did a little bit of. When did you discover that? Because it's so distinctive.
There were a couple of things that happened. I was a huge Joni Mitchell freak, and when I learned the tunings, then I was sort of halfway there to figuring out what she did. And she always had a, it was like, you're probably not hearing it.
Yeah.
I can't even make it do it.
Yeah.
You know, she would click, and I did it with my wrist, although I think in the end I've learned she was doing it with her... She was somehow doing it with her fingertips, which I can't even comprehend. But that sort of morphed into what I do now. And part of the reason was I did so much playing in clubs by myself, you know, where nobody cared, that I had this notion that if I could be very percussive with the guitar, it would draw more attention. You know, it would be more interesting. It would sound more, more, it would catch your ear better.
It would shut people up?
Yeah. I mean, the objective, what made you feel good if you shut people up. And, and I guess twinga, 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 you know, was kind of an obvious folk sound. And, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I think I have really good rhythm. I'm going to... It was a technique to kind of be distinctive, and so...
It works. You spent a lot of time, I know, you played in a band with Buddy Miller, you played in a band with John, you did a lot of covers over the years.
I'm sure you get this question a lot. Has that helped your songwriting to kind of dissect other people's songs?
Something had to help it. You know, when John and I first started writing, I wasn't any good. I mean, he'd have these great tracks, and I was writing some real silly stuff. And I just didn't understand. You'd think I'd have understood what to do with... It's like I was trying to write pop lyrics when I should have just been writing personal stuff like my mentors, but for some reason I didn't have access to that. It took me a few years. But one can only figure after all those years of covering songs and not being in like a wedding band, but, you know, being actually able to pick the songs that I wanted to cover, that had to have helped, you know, had to have seeped in or something.
Well, there's one on These Four Walls that's entirely yours called I'm Gone. Can you do that one?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. You ready?
That is I'm Gone. Another one from These Four Walls. Sean Colvin playing live for us today. You mentioned doing a song I love on here called called Summer Dress, and it's another one with a really nice image right up front, too. That's,
thanks.
How did that one come about?
That one's special to us because it was kind of, I don't know if John looks at it this way. But to me, it was the really kind of the first song that we knew was going to be a song and be on the record. John's getting up now, so he's not going to talk. But
no, I am.
Oh, he is going to talk. I was. It was the summer of 2004, and I wrote like what I guess were the first four lines of this song, and it was really kind of the first thing I'd written in a couple years, at least two or three years. And I, they were simple, but I knew it was good. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, ah, okay, this is, I like this. It feels good. I'm excited by it. I think it will be something. And then I called John, and we got together in New York, and because I knew the process had kind of started, and he had music that I knew those lyrics fit with, and I just, you know, finished the song.
You know what I liked about it? I was pretty committed before we even started recording, as you recall, of making a simpler record than we had.
Yeesh.
And what I liked was that I thought it was lyrically simple and the music was simple and it was the first thing we wrote. And I said, this is good. This is what the whole record should be like. Because we had, the last record, we had maybe made too much of a pop record for various reasons.
We beat ourselves up so badly about that record. We never give ourselves enough credit for some cool things that were on there.
Well, there's some good moments. But basically, I was thrilled that this indicated less is more as a path for your new record, which I was into.
Hey, there you go. Can you explore that for a second? Because it's interesting how, does that kind of mean you were writing more for the marketplace when you say you're writing more of a pop record? Or?
I think it's complicated. I think, if I can speak for Sean, she was a bit blocked lyrically on the last record, and it took a long time. I don't think she was quite centered in what she wanted to write about, and we had a hit, which of course is a great thing, but also, you know, it's unbelievable, such a stereotype, but set up expectations for everybody, including the label and specifically the A&R guy, for that following record. So there was a lot of like, is there a hit? Is there a hit? Is it commercial? Is it commercial? Is there a hit? And I just think the whole process got a tad convoluted as a result of both those things, the sort of lyric blockage and, you know, trying the illusion that we could somehow fit into some marketplace. So on this record, we completely jettisoned any ideas of any of that. That never entered into it at all. So
we did what we did with like a few small repairs, which is we just had fun writing songs. Mm. If they were pop sounding, that was great, and if they weren't, that was great. And we just let the song kind of take us where it ought to go, and we had to feel good about the song. Yeah, and I was blocked lyrically on the last record. I had a newborn baby, and that was the predominating experience in my life, and I didn't know how to parlay that into anything poetic. It was too big. And you know,
it's hard to write about those first 6 months of a baby's life because you really don't want to let people know about that. It's pretty rough.
But I did. See, that was, and that's my favorite song from the record, which is the first song, which is called Matter of Minutes, and it is a dark ass song.
Right.
It's about, can I please return this?
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry.
I think that is a good song. I think we wrote a good song there. I'm not sure it's a great
record. I love
record.
That song.
It's not a great record, but it's a good song.
I didn't sing well on that whole record.
Well, now we have this one, and I agree with you. It seems like a much more relaxed, comfortable place for you guys. Not to take it away from that. As long as we're kind of talking about this whole record company thing, you mentioned about how comfortable you felt with a few small repairs. What was the record label's reaction when that came in? Was everybody big on that from the beginning? Because it seemed to me that the hit on that emerged after the album had been out for a while.
It did. John seems to have a better recollection. I mean, the first single was not Sonny Came Home. It was Get Out of This House. Although, yeah. I remember the A&R guy, you know, John will have more specific recollections. I remember wanting that painting for a cover, which our A&R guy, really, he was behind us. He liked the record. I think he saw it, and he let me do that painting, whereas the conventional wisdom in the company would have never let that happen. What do you remember about it?
That's about right. Let's put it this way. It wasn't as though we handed in the record and all of a sudden everybody at Columbia was going, God, this is great. This is going to be a smash, or Sonny Came Home is going to be a hit.
But it was Lilith Fair time.
Right.
And they knew that I fit. So there was a there was an idea that if we've had the right song, that this was a good time to push.
I think that you and I, Sean, felt good. We felt really good about that record.
We loved the record.
Yeah, it's like, so it sort of didn't matter. It's sort of like, I think that record was very fulfilling, and that was like, man, we made a decent record.
Yeah.
We knew it. So it the other part didn't really matter that much to us.
Ironic, isn't it?
Well, I mentioned earlier about it seemed perhaps sometimes you were on a treadmill, but if there's ever like a crossing the finish line, winning the Grammys, having a hit seems to be it. And was that freeing to you, Sean, when you finally got that recognition?
Well, you know, the treadmill thing, I've never really felt that way. I mean, except for the record after the Grammys when I was a mom and we had this pressure. That was a little, that was tough, but I've really had a great time, you know. I've made records when I wanted to. I made a cover record for my third record out. People thought that was insane, but it was appropriate as far as I was concerned, and it worked, you know. I mean, I put two original records out, and then I took a little breaky because writing's hard for me, and then we did a few small repairs, and it was great timing for me, and I love the cover record, and it hasn't been a treadmill, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun, and I've really done what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, save for one time. So the Grammy thing, I mean, gosh, we had, you know, I had three records under my belt, and the first, for every record that I put out, they would try to fashion some kind of something to give to radio, and it was always like putting a square peg in a round hole, you know. They'd take something and start messing around with it, and it would always sound like, ugh, this isn't, you know, this isn't, it never made much sense. And so we'd kind of gotten like, oh, ha ha ha, radio, you know, I mean, AAA, you know, top 40 radio, ha ha, that's, so it was just like a, it was like icing, you know? It was like we were laughing. Didn't you feel that way?
Well, you
I mean,
know,
it was redeeming and great, but...
Well, to put it in perspective, you know, when we first started making records, there was no...
I don't mean we were laughing at it. It was just like, oh, do you believe this?
Right, because there was no AAA radio when we first started.
Right.
And when we first started making records, you know, the intensity for which people wanted hit singles didn't really exist. That first record, they were sort of like, oh, great, make this nice record, and nobody
yeah,
was
and
on.
Yeah, I got video, you know, they played my videos on VH1 all the time.
Right, and by, that's you know, when they, yeah. 3 years later, every, you know, the whole landscape had changed dramatically. Right. As I'm sure you know, David.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Now back to these four walls. So we can do Summer Dress?
Yeah. Put on my fun summer dress, so light and thin, it was my best. I brushed my hair, I held my breath, I went out to face the wilderness. I went out to face the wilderness. In heads, boys on bikes, perfect girls, baby dykes, superstars, the blighted ones. I went out to face them one by one. I went out to face them one by one. I said, you turn. Survive. and liar. And so goodbye, Mary Ann. And as you turn towards me, don't cry, Mary Ann. And don't try to stop me. And I put on my finest summer dress, so light and thin, torn at the chest. I brushed my hair, held my breath. I went out to face the wilderness. I went out to face the wilderness.
So glad we could do that one. That is Summer Dress, Sean Colvin and this great band. Another one from These Four Walls here in the World Cafe. Sean, you talk about all the changes in your life. And one of the things I know you went around and talked to people about this earlier was you've dealt with your depression.
And
talk a little bit about what effect that has had on your life and how things are now.
I think one of the most important things to say about it is that, I have chronic biological depression, and I learned this when I was 19, and started taking medication for it then. But I probably, when I look back, there were signs of it, way earlier than that. But, people have this idea, I think, that somebody who does what I do, needs to be depressed, to do it. And I don't know, that just concerns me for people who might have the illness, because what people don't understand is that when you're really suffering from it, you're not poetic, you're not writing a song, you're not being creative, you're not doing anything. And for people who resist wanting to go out and try to get help for it, it's like, you're restored to yourself when you get, treated properly. So it's not like I've written great songs when I've been in the throes of a bad depression. I haven't, been able to move.
Sean, thank you so much for playing live today and bringing everybody by.
Well, we love your show and we love your station. We're glad you're around. And I thank Zev and Sean and John. Great guys to play with.
Thanks a lot. Big thanks again to Sean Colvin and John Leventhal and this great band playing music from her new album, These Four Walls, which is available at our World Cafe CD store, worldcafe.npr.org, where you can find that. That is our website, where you can also now find playlists of the show.